Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN. There he is. Neek Clifford out of Colorado State gets to the stage, gets drafted pick number 24. Puts on that Oklahoma City Thunder hat. But he was actually drafted by the Sacramento Kings. So you got to get the Thunder hat. You put that on eBay later tonight, or you know, give him a championship hat at least. You do something with that. Since we last spoke, Will Riley was drafted by the Jazz, traded to the Wizards, part of that deal for Walter Clayton Jr. Asa Newell is being drafted by the Hawks via the Pelicans. Hawks traded with the Pelicans. Pelicans traded up 10 spots and gave up a pick next year's first-round pick, which could be like a top-five pick. I don't know what they're doing. Nobody seems to. And then the Thunder drafting Neek Clifford, trading him to the Kings. I would like to see the return on that. I haven't seen that yet as this all is happening here. I don't have anything on that right now. But I do believe that that is still one of the picks from the Paul George trade. So Neek Clifford is one of the picks from the Paul George trade. And the Thunder still have one more pick next year from the Paul George trade. I would also like to congratulate. This is really crazy. This is really crazy. I have said that I don't think you can be a full-time national radio host and have another full-time job that's very time-consuming. So I don't understand how Doug Gottlieb is, you know, trying to do it. He's not doing it well. Green Bay only won 4 games last year where he's the men's head basketball coach. But there is another national radio host who will be participating now, and he has also been selected for a second job tonight.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Coward here. This is a young man with the Select Colin Coward here.
I believe what Malika meant to say was Cedric Coward, who was drafted by the Trailblazers and then sent to the Memphis Grizzlies. So I think that's wrong. I'd have to verify. This Cedric Coward got up and was there. I'm not sure where Colin was at the time, but it does seem like Cedric will be the one out of Washington State that got selected in the NBA draft. The Orlando Magic are on the clock here. You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do for 1 second? I'm going to treat it like we are doing a draft show. Are we okay with that? Can we do that?
Yeah, sure, whatever.
I think we can. Let's treat it like we're a real draft show. Let's go to the podium.
Take us in. Back to the podium we go.
With the 25th pick in the 2025 NBA draft, the Orlando Magic select Jace Richardson from Michigan State University.
Okay, everybody thought he'd be a Phoenix Sun since Matt Ishbia only really takes people from Michigan State. But how about that? Big time production. As I play the video off of my DirecTV streaming. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Corey is in Milwaukee. I saw Corey today. Corey, good to talk to you. How are you?
Bart, how's it going tonight?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, so I know you were there for at least part of the game, but I just wanted to call in and talk about Mizrowski versus Skeens this afternoon. It's a 110 start in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee sold it out, which is incredible.
So Jacob Mizorowski, let me just set the scene for the folks here. Jacob Mizorowski, this guy throws about 100 on every pitch. They finally called him up. Brewers fans have been waiting. His first 11 innings, he did not give up a hit. And here he is on the mound because of a rain delay last week. It timed out where he gets to face. He's the NL Rookie of the Year front runner right now. He gets to face Paul Skenes, the NL Cy Young front runner right now. And once this matchup was official, you're right. The crowd bought tickets immediately. The place sold out. It was their highest attendance of the year for, again, a Wednesday day game between the Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates to see Skenes and Mizorowski. And it felt like there was something special kind of in that ballpark today. And then the two of them had a combined 9 innings of work, Corey.
It was, it was phenomenal. Skenes, we all know who he is. Mizorowski went, I think, 4 innings, no hit ball today. Might be off on that. He had 8 strikeouts, no walks, one walk. His opening batter, he walked. Skenes followed suit, 1 walk, then 2 strikeouts. But then the Brewers got to him. And so, yeah, 4 runs there. They knocked Skenes out early. But it just, you know, like 2 small market teams and watching this happen was, you know, it's pretty incredible. It's, Fernando mania, the D-Train, similar things to those, you know, where these guys just come up and, you know, and just like the city goes wild. And I think we've got something here with La Miz, and I'm looking forward to just seeing how all this develops. He could be, you know, once Woodruff comes back in the Brewers and we got Peralta, you got the Miz going in, and now all of a sudden you've got 3 studs coming in. And if the Brewers can keep this up, I think that they could actually make a deep threat, regardless of what we think about how the Brewers will probably never win a World Series, which I agree with you.
Yeah, they won't, but it was still fun to see. I do think that there was at least a little bit of attention in baseball. Like, hey, there's this really good pitching matchup that's happening. I think a lot of people, you know, in Milwaukee made sure to find a way to get to that game. A full stadium in a regular season, late June game, where would you rank the vibe between, because I know you get to a lot of games, between like an opening day, between like a playoff game, between like a big rivalry game against the Cubs or something?
Opening day has its own thing going because it's opening day, and the playoffs are always very intense. This is just a regular season game. This is that was absolutely number one. I really kind of wish that Skenes would have done better. I think the Brewers worked really good at bats, and I think Haas had, you know, just like he kind of caught the luck of the draw in like a check swing, which ended up being like an RBI. But regardless of all of that, as far as a regular season game, I really think that was like maybe the best regular season game that American Family Field has ever seen.
Well, it's good to see you. Sorry I had to go bail. I had to go take some pictures for my social media.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got to do that. You got to let the people know you're out there.
Yeah. But it was good to see you, Corey, and thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Good to see you. Good to see you, too. We'll talk to you soon.
Corey in Milwaukee has listened to the shows I've done for a long time and sent me a message. He said, did you actually get here today? And I said, I did. I'm in line. World's longest line. And then met him. So I went to game today. By the way, this Jacob Mizorowski, his nickname is The Miz. I bet you'll never guess what music he comes out to.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees.
How about that? I mean, you got it.
That's awesome. Now, does he come out, like throws a pitch and just goes, awesome!
usually he takes a young protege under his wing, and then that guy turns on him, and then he gets buried. But he always loses, but never takes any heat away from
him. How sick would it be if you have a guy in AA named Alex Riley?
Who's what is he trying to? He's trying to work with Carmelo Hayes right now, isn't
that? Oh, come on. I was always a fan of the Miz. I really was.
Love the Miz.
Miz is awesome. I think he gets a bad rap because he's a quote-unquote safe worker, but look at the longevity. He is a consummate professional company man. I think he'll be a great veteran for the locker room for years to come. Probably not much of a wrestler anymore, but you know, you could be a manager type and be one of those WWE legends. Trainer, you know, kind of like how he came up into the ranks.
It's a big matchup. We'll have our worst in five this hour regarding Major League Baseball as well.
You don't know that.
It was a big matchup. And again, it didn't live up to the hype, I don't think. Jacob Mizorowski had a really nice outing, 5 innings, 2 hits, 8 Ks. Skeens, that second inning got away from them. They gave up 4 runs there, and then that was it. That was the only runs. Or innings, at least, where the Brewers scored. So, Milwaukee winning 4-2. If you want more breakdown on that, plenty of Brewers breakdown that you can get. I'm not going to sit here as much as I would love to and break down the game any further.
Hour five.
What I'm going to tell you about is I did. I said last night I was going to try to go to this game. I woke up and I told my wife I'm going to the game. And she goes, by yourself? And I go, yeah. She goes, is there any special occasion? And I said, I don't know. It's this pitcher. And then Paul, I go to my wife, have you ever heard of Paul Skeens? She knows nothing about sports. She's like, no. I go, oh, I bet you've heard of Livy Dunn. No, men have heard of Livy Dunn. She has not heard of Livy Dunn. So then I tried to like tell her, and I lost her interest. And then I told her, I got the tickets. I had a voucher. I only had to pay $1 for them. I'm going to go there. I'm not going to pay for parking, and I'm not going to buy any lunch or have anything to drink when I'm there. I'm just going to go there for as long as they pitch and then come home. And then she got like real interested. Like, oh, you found a way to entertain yourself for a few hours for $1? And I did. And you know what I realized is because the Brewers, I don't know how your stadium is where you guys go, because some are like 3 levels, some are 4. You know, the Brewers have 4 levels. One is like a little tiny, like club section level. But the 400s, I always say I'll never go sit in the 400s again. The 400s, especially like on weekends, it's like a different stadium. And maybe you've experienced this. When you go into a stadium, when you're lower, you feel like you're at a ball game. You know, family friendly, people having a good time for the most part. When you're up in the 400s or the top level of whatever stadium you go to, it's either like the drunkest people you will ever meet or a field trip of 100 kids. And that whole vibe and atmosphere mixed together is insane. And it's like if humans were captured and then aliens said, I want to go visit humans like at a zoo. They would look at the top level of a Major League Baseball game and see how we interact with each other. It's just unhinged behavior at times. But I went up to the middle to take a picture of the whole stadium because it was a sellout. I was like, you know what? I'm kind of into this view.
Send him to the zoo.
Because one of the things that I'm trying to do with my kid when we go to these games is I want to make sure we get seats that are closer, you know, so he can see the action up front, right in front of him. Because when does he go to baseball games? At parks, the games that he plays. So when he goes to these baseball games, he's very tight next to the, you know, and you can see all the action. I don't want to take him too far up high because then you're so far away. How engaged are you? But I kind of think now he might like that. So maybe the next game I take him to, I might do that. But that's a big risk. That's a big risk. Because I think what you're supposed to do is start high and then get lower and be like, I can't believe I'm this close. But I've been putting him so close. When we went to that Cubs game, we were like 15 rows up from the dugout.
That's when you spring for good tickets.
I bought better tickets for him than I did with Carlos when we got made fun of for sitting in the highest section. But we got in the park, man. We got in the park. We had a good time. So I don't know. I don't know what to do. Do you like to sit up hot? Do you? Is there? Like, are you a ticket? I've become a ticket snob.
That's the exact word I was going to use. I'm a huge ticket snob as well, which is funny because I don't actually even have seats when I go with my wife to Mets games. She only has standing room only passes for the season. So we'll try to sneak into a seat in the aforementioned 400s. City Field, where the Mets play, actually goes up to 500.
Oh.
So,
is it like a different world up there, too?
Very similar, where you find the people that also can only afford 400 or 500 section level seats. People are bombed. And for the most part, ushers don't really bother you. So there is a pro to that, but it's just so many stairs. But it totally a different vibe. I haven't had the field trip quite yet, but I know exactly what you're talking about. It's very commonplace to see a bunch of kids from like a summer camp or something. They're like, oh, okay, let's just go kill time, go to a baseball game. Very different 400 or 500s versus like the 100s or even like the club sections, which I frequently enjoy because I'm fat and I like alcoholic beverages and food.
Yeah, one thing that I wanted to do too is we had like briefly looked into maybe how much a suite would be for like a birthday party. And that is just the amount of money you have to pay for such limited time.
Yeah, it's outlandish.
It is unbelievable.
Let me know when you do that though, because I would love to freeload on your suite.
I mean, I can't think of any like good reason why I would try to like tussle enough money together up to have a suite for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, you got to talk to management about that.
I almost feel like what these teams should do is have suites that then you can spend the night in, you know? Like, you can have a suite, but then there's also a bedroom, and then there's a little area of the stadium you can maybe hang out in. Because I can't justify, there's no way to justify the cost.
Is that a thing? Like, could you spend a night at the ballpark? Now, specifically, because I remember a couple of years ago, I forgot what team it was, but I felt like they had advertised, hey, you could have a kind of camp out sleepover on the field.
Sometimes they do like tents and have movie nights.
Yeah, I forgot what team it was, but that was somewhat recent.
Does Toronto still have the hotel attached? Like there's a hotel attached separately but connected to the stadium.
No clue.
So you could watch the game from there.
That sounds cool, though.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. I think the Mets actually did it a while back. They did a City Field sleepover.
Maybe that's where I think it was from, but I know somebody did it. I'm not crazy.
Let's see. I just looked this up here. This was back in... this was a while ago. It was the City Field sleepover for $200. You can pitch your tent on the field, meet Mr. and Mrs. Met, play catch with like-minded American fathers, sons, mothers, and daughters. It's a real party. You're not allowed to bring booze.
I'm out.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The draft, at least round one, is almost done for the night. We'll give you an update on what has happened and what may happen tomorrow. 888-710-4476. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
All right, just a couple more picks to go here in the first round of the NBA draft. And then you can get a good night's rest, have a productive day at the office, get home, have a nice dinner, and then watch round two tomorrow night. The NBA saw the NFL split it into three, and then they thought, yeah, we'll do the same. Now, one thing I don't think the NBA has figured out yet is that people don't really care like they do in the NFL.
Yeah, seriously.
Last year we did have the Bronny James drama. Although, I feel like that draft, that was in the afternoon. Round two was in the afternoon for some reason, if I'm remembering that right. Tomorrow, I believe it's at night. Initially, Ed saw it in the afternoon, but I'm planning for it to be at night. So we're going to break down. Like, we're kind of just giving you the information about the first-round picks. Because I've really been digging deep into picks 30 through 60. I want to give you the information there. I've been working hard on the weekends trying to figure out who's going to go here. Some fun facts and anecdotes about tonight. You all know that Cooper Flagg did go number one, and he will be wearing the number 32. Boy, if you knew that you were going to draft him for a while and you knew what number he would be for a while, wouldn't it make sense to have your team store ready with his jersey? Yes, it would. And the Mavericks did that, and there were a lot of people in line. So it seems like it was just yesterday that the fan base was turning on everyone related to the Dallas Mavericks. But then, oh, what? You got the number one pick? Adam Silver saved your ass? And now you've got fan interest again? Oh, no way. How crazy. Cooper Flagg going number one overall to the Dallas Mavericks. Colin Murray Boyles was drafted number nine by the Raptors. And the video caught him essentially mouthing a naughty word, the F word, a word that everyone else gets to say on TV and the radio except for us. So Raptors fans are like, oh boy, what happened here? The Raptors tweeting about an hour ago, him sitting at a podium with his hat smiling. They said, see guys, he's happy, laugh face emoji. The Blazers made a deal where they took a pick at number 16, Yang Hansen. You did not see the Chinese center go on to the stage because he was not invited to be down there. But he was in the crowd just with the other fans. So he stood up and then I'm sure made his way towards the media eventually at some point. What I think is interesting about the draft in terms of roster building is the Thunder have a bunch of first-round picks. Well, they had two, and then they have another pick at 44 in the second. So they have a bunch of these picks, and they can't – it's not that they can't do anything with them, but they have more picks than they have guys on their roster. At 15, they did keep the pick. That was Tomas Sorber. And then at 24, they drafted Nick Clifford, but then that is going to be a trade – to the Kings. Decent deal for the Kings because the Thunder are kind of like, we kind of have to trade this. So the Kings are sending a top 16 protected 2027 first round pick from San Antonio to Oklahoma City in exchange for that 24 pick and the right to draft Clifford. It could convey to 2 seconds after a while. But one thing this does is it just extends out how long the Thunder are going to be drafting players or having assets from the Paul George trade. So that trade, as you remember, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the centerpiece of it. The Clippers sent out Paul George, or the Thunder sent out Paul George. The Clippers received, Jesus, the Thunder received Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari. They got a first-round pick in 2021, which they used on Trey Mann. They got a first-round pick in 2022, which they used on Jalen Williams. They got a 2024 first-round pick, which they used on Dylan Jones. They got number 15 in the draft tonight, which they used on Sorber. They got number 24 with a first-round pick swap with the Clippers, which they've then traded now out to a top 16 protected in 2027. And they still have a 2026 first-round pick from the Clippers. So this trade is going to live on and live on and live on for a long time. And with the Thunder having more players than they have room for, it could be years still before this trade is finally over and there's no more branches coming off of that tree. The Nets are another interesting team because they have five first-round picks. And there was some talk that they wanted to move and package some of those picks because, my goodness, if you try to go up, you're going to want to go up. Well, they took a selection at 8. They took their selection at 19. They took their selection at 22. They took their selection at 26. They took their selection at 27. So they had 5 picks, Danny Wolf being the last one out of Michigan. They had 5 picks, and they selected them all. We just saw Hugo Gonzalez out of Real Madrid get selected from Spain. He'll play with the Boston Celtics. And then Liam McNeely, who you might remember from UConn, he was just selected at number 29 for the Suns, and that pick reportedly is going to the Hornets. One more pick left here tonight, and that will be the Los Angeles Clippers with number 30, and then we will get a good night's sleep and have the rest of the draft tomorrow. So Charlotte getting 20 at 29. They got that pick from Phoenix with the Mark Williams trade that happened earlier tonight. So Phoenix going big, and then Charlotte cashing in here with that. Just the Clippers now on the clock. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I think overall tonight, the surprises, you know, we like to look at that. The surprises, maybe not a lot of surprises. I think the Suns doubling down and getting Mark Williams in that trade was a little interesting. There are some players that went higher than you would have expected. There are some players, maybe like a Yakinchunas out of Illinois, went down to 20 with the Heat, that could have gone lower than you expected. I think the Pelicans trading from 13, they got up to 13 at 23. That's a big swing for Derek Queen out of Maryland, because you've essentially given up a pick that could be a top 5, 8, 9 pick next year, as you're getting the you're giving the better of the New Orleans or Milwaukee pick. Milwaukee could be in some trouble, but, I mean, New Orleans, how many times do we do this here, and they're just not that good. So I think that was a surprise. The Thunder not packaging up, thought they may try to do that, but I think they're feeling pretty good about Sorber, but it's another big man for them out of Georgetown. And then the Nets, for the Nets to have taken all 5 picks that they have and not trade any of them, interesting. Now, will we see some of those guys eventually get dealt? Certainly that could happen. You could see some teams that have seen guys get traded or drafted and then want to be traded for in the next 24 hours. That's one thing that we've seen in the NFL change the way that these guys' careers start, is you can get drafted in a totally different position that you would based on how the draft is laid out. When it was just 2 days and the draft went 1 through 4 in the NFL, you're making decisions quick. You don't got that whole day to think about, okay, this team's got the number 1 pick in the 2nd round. We really like this guy. Let's talk it over, sleep on it, and try to make a trade. So there's, you know, it would be different. I don't know how different, but it would be different. It would be different if the draft was still in the structure that it always is. And I think in the NBA, we'll start to see that too. We'll start to see that these drafts, if the draft was, if round 2 was right now, the rest of the 30 picks that would come in, or yeah, the rest of the 30 picks, 29, the rest of the picks that would come in, Knicks got one of theirs rescinded. So the 29 picks that would have come in would be different if it was drafted tonight than if it was drafted tomorrow. Unfortunately, we'll never know what those what ifs would have been. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. You know what? Since we're here, let's do it live again. Here's the clip.
With the 30th pick in the 2025 NBA Draft, the LA Clippers select Jannik Konin Niederhauser from Fracial, Switzerland, and Penn State University.
I heard that Jannik. I got a little nervous that there was some sort of trade that went down, to be honest with you. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti.
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's Worst and 5. Here's Bart Winkler.
Every Wednesday night, we bring to you our Power Rankings. Depending on what time of the year it is what league we rank. And with it being the summertime, there's really only one league that we have the opportunity to rank. So we'll get at it. My worst team in the league, I'm going to go with the Connecticut Sun at 2-2. I thought I told you we were doing WNBA tonight.
No. 2 wins, though. I mean, they do. They do stink.
You suck!
Yeah. Losers of 6 in a row. All right. It is, once again, anticlimactic. It's the Colorado Rockies.
You suck!
Anything to add? You could say no and move on. It's the Rockies.
For a while there, it looked like they might be bridging the gap with the White Sox.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's the Rockies. 18-61, the Colorado Rockies. I will tell you that there's two teams with a run differential worse than 100. The A's, dude, the A's are... If it wasn't for the White Sox and the Rockies just playing awful baseball, the A's, they're minus 131, Rockies minus 204.
Oh, good Lord.
It's bad. So the Rockies, the worst team for me.
You suck!
Yeah, I'm with you. It is the Colorado Rockies for all the reasons that you mentioned. They really can't do anything right, but I'll make it official, Colorado Rockies.
You suck!
But I do want to put a special kind of note out there for both teams in New York, and that's the Yankees and the Mets. Now, I'm not going to go crazy and say they're the worst teams in the league. They're not, but I'm tired of picking on the Rockies every week, even though they deserve it. I will highlight just recently, the Mets have been getting that ass beat by the Braves, who are barely around 500. Braves never seem to go away. This was supposed to be the year that Steve Cohen and the Big Bad Mets make their imprint on the NL East. They've lost 6 of 7 to Atlanta. They got a win today, thankfully, in their case. But they have looked terrible against them to the tune of losing a division to the Philadelphia Phillies, who are currently number one in the NL East. So, spoiler alert, the Mets are not in my top five. And the same goes for the Yankees, who are also not in my top five. They've been losing to the Reds. The Reds are just a mid team. And one weird stat with the Yankees, they are 1-6 in extra inning games. That's almost impossible when you start with a ghost runner in the 10th inning on second base. So for whatever reason, the Yankees cannot get timely hits with runners in scoring position, and the Mets are even worse. Only the White Sox are worse than the Mets with runners in scoring position. So yes, it is the Colorado Rockies, but I want to just give a big you suck to New York baseball.
You suck!
So are you telling me neither New York team's in your top five?
Correct.
I wager we might have the same top five.
You also don't have them in the Yankees or the Mets in the top five?
No, so let's do something we've never done. Let's do them together.
Okay, all right. So you want to start at number one? Let me go ahead and switch the bet here.
Yeah.
Number one.
All right, so my number one is the team that's been my number one for the last 5 weeks. The Mets did sneak up in there 2 weeks ago. How quickly they fall. But it's the first team to 50. It's the Detroit Tigers, my number one.
Yeah, number one for me. The only team that has 50 wins in their major leagues. Now, albeit the American League is weaker than the National League. It really is two teams. I think it's Detroit. I think it's the Yankees. Although I do have another team in the AL on my top five as well. And obviously, I just tipped my hand. The Yankees are not under. So we're both in agreement. Number one is the Detroit Tigers.
Number two.
Okay, this... At number two, Carlos, you have the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Are you telling me I have them or you have them?
I'm telling you, you have them because they're still the best team in the league, but we got the Tigers at one.
We do have the Tigers at one, so who do you have at number two?
I have the Dodgers, and so do you.
Stop looking at my list. Yes, the Dodgers, 49-31. They're starting to get people back healthy. They are the best team in baseball, although the record doesn't accurately reflect that. I think Once we start to see Shohei Ohtani ramp up and actually get some innings under his belt, you're going to see the Dodgers have the best record soon enough. They're not challenging the Mariners, obviously. That's off the table. But I think the Dodgers will soon give it to the All-Star break. The Dodgers will have the best record in baseball. So, yes, Dodgers at 2.
I was a little conflicted there. I wondered where your homerism was going to come in. But because it was the Dodgers, we're going to put them at 2. And then you're going to put the Cubs at 3 on this list.
You don't know that.
Do I?
You don't. Here is, you want to go 3, obviously.
Number 3
comes after 2. So who's your team?
My team's the same as yours. It's the Chicago Cubs.
I'm actually very impressed by you. I'm going with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Whoa! What?
Now, Philadelphia fans do not deserve this whatsoever. They all bailed. They all thought their team sucked. The season was over.
Well, we're gonna keep mentioning this, but it should be mentioned because it was one series in the middle of April where they got swept by the Mets, and the reaction out of Philadelphia, it wasn't just like, I'm not talking sports radio, I'm talking the fan base in general, was beside themselves in the middle of April. And it was so obnoxious, and I'm still so mad about it.
And you should be, because they have a good ball club. Now, the only thing is, I don't think they're actually really all that special. This is more of an indictment of how bad the Mets have been playing as of late, because the Mets had won, they had lost like 6 straight,
wow,
7 straight, but they are currently 1 in the division, and these are week-to-week rankings, so I have the right to pick and choose teams where I want them to go. So I actually do not have the Cubs at 3 like you do. I have the Phillies at 3 because the NL East is a stronger division, and Philadelphia is there for all, with all their flaws and everybody burying them. I'm going with the Phillies at 3.
All right. Well, then I'm off track because I have the Cubs at 3. And then I'd figure you'd put the Astros at 4, but now you have the Cubs at 4.
You should have stuck with your first instinct. I have the Astros at 4.
Wow. So our top 5 is going to be the same, except for a Cubs-Phillies flop. So you can just hit 5, and then we'll talk about it.
5.
So that's where I'm going Phillies, and you're going Cubs. So I'm going Tigers, Dodgers, Cubs, Astros, Phillies, and you're going Tigers, Dodgers, Phillies, Astros, Cubs. Are you doing the thing where you're harder on your home team?
No, I mean, I'm the eye test. The Cubs, I know they beat St. Louis today, and I'm very happy about that. It was a shutout win. They have looked like dog crap the last week. Looked really bad. Bart, I looked very hard to take the Cubs out of the top 5 because I did not want to seem like a homer. Not because I was being overly harsh on them.
They won 8-0 tonight.
Yeah, I get that. But before tonight, they looked terrible. They could not pitch their way out of a paper bag. Jameson Taillon, he's proved to me that I've always hated him since going back to the Yankees when he was a pitcher in New York. I think he's the most blah starter in the league, although his numbers say he's okay. He's actually not that bad. But I don't like Jameson Taillon. I never have. And I felt like the Cubs have overpaid for him. He got rocked yesterday. And Ben Brown has completely lost it. This guy cannot be on the roster right now. They need to send him down. He is fundamentally broken. So I've been bitching about this bullpen for a while. I've been bitching about these starters for like the last 2 weeks. They need to make some moves if they want to make a deep postseason run. I was looking for a reason to take the Cubs off. Unfortunately, their offense is still pretty damn good. And I think a bunch of teams are just kind of blah right now. The Mets aren't better than the Cubs. The Yankees aren't better than the Cubs. So they get a 5th-place spot. But I really wanted to put them at 6.
I think you need to make an amendment because the Astros, I have the Astros above the Phillies. They're actually in a series right now where the Astros won tonight 2-0 and last night 1-0.
So what, you think I should flip-flop the Astros and the Phillies? No, I'm good. I'm good where they are because, the AL West sucks. And the American League overall kind of stinks. The Astros, we thought 2 weeks ago they would be dead. And I'm not going to count out the Rangers quite yet. Jacob deGrom, he had a perfect game in like through 4 innings. He had a no-no going through 6. So if he starts getting right, maybe they make a move or two and they're not sellers and the Rangers can start coming back. I'm not writing off the Rangers quite yet. And the Astros, they're going to get in just because I think the AL stinks.
Well, where is Houston if they still have Kyle Tucker and Alec Bregman?
Yeah, fair point. They shouldn't have bailed on either one of them. But, you know, finances weren't going to allow that to happen, and I don't think
you look at their starting lineup, it's like, what? Their lineup tonight was Pena, Paredes, Altuve, Victor Caratini, your boy Cam Smith.
Like him.
Christian Walker.
Yeah, former Diamondback.
Jake Myers.
No idea.
Cooper Hummel.
Also no idea.
Jeez.
But, you know, that's a playoff team as long as they don't, you know, completely spit the bed.
All right, well, that is our worst in five. If I said we are doing a WNBA one in 5 minutes, would you have it with me?
Oh, sure. I will just fire up AI right now.
Yeah, well, I have something coming up next, so we'll do that in hour five tonight.
Sweet.
888-710-4476. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.